Yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of fluidity in this today. Meaning there's going to be a bit of flexible.
Is that when you make it up as you go?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. No. No. I'm not going to do sort of probably a lot of conventional sort of preach as such. Might be a bit of interactivity, Dave. Yeah. But yeah, so really what I'm going to be, the sort of spirit I'm speaking out of today is more of a prophetic type spirit really. And as we've been worshipping and praising God today, I just really sense it really quite strongly. But we find Psalm 1, we'll just read a couple of verses from that. Then we might have a bit of interactivity. Oh yeah. Psalm 1. But we only need to read three verses really. The first three verses. So Psalm 1 says this. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, if you were about 2 weeks ago, which I'm going to say probably 95% of you weren't, because there weren't that many there either on that particular day. We're talking about fruitfulness. We're talking about Joseph. And I had a bit of a blank page for this particular day, because I think that we were expecting some people from Nepal to speak, weren't we, Mark? Was it Nepal?
Yeah, it was possible.
So I had a bit of a blank page. So, you know, I went to God and I said, right, Lord, I'm going to open myself up to you. What are you saying to me? And the first thing that came into my spirit was that word fruitfulness. I thought, I don't want to hear that, Lord, because I spoke on that 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I don't want to hear that. But it just keeps coming back to me over and over again. I know from experience when that happens, I know that's the Spirit of God speaking to me. And so I sort of was drawn and led to this passage in Psalm 1. And yeah, that word fruitfulness has been really heavily in my spirit for about last 2-3 days. And I do believe it's a prophetic word to us this morning. Fruitfulness. And what it's talking about here in Psalm 1, it's talking about the man that is blessed, the man that is favoured of God. And it says, that sort of man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked. Yeah, he seeks God. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, those that mock God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. And it describes that sort of man as a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. And that's what's really impacted me about a season of fruitfulness. And that's what I believe God's been speaking to me about. And I want to speak it over us this morning, because I believe that there is a season of fruitfulness for us as a church. Now, everything that's happened this morning, really, you might think, well, it doesn't feel very fruitful as such. We come here, there's not many of us here, and straight away you sort of feel on a bit of a downer, don't you? You come in a little bit sort of, oh, I wish there was a few more people here. It's just human nature, isn't it, to feel that way. But I just got this really strong sense that there is a season of fruitfulness at hand to come for this church. Just really sense it really strongly. And so what I want us to do before I sort of carry on is I want us to start to pray that out and speak that out into the heavenly places, and to prophesy that over this church, and to speak against discouragement, and to speak against circumstances that make us feel or they look as though things are not fruitful. I just get that sense. As we're worshipping today, I just got that sense. That's probably a good thing to do. So I think we should do that now. I think that we should start to do that now. So maybe it'd be better if we stand up. And I just want us to open our heart to the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to start to pray and to worship God just as we stand here, and just to start speaking over this church. Start to speak over it fruitfulness. Start to speak against all discouragement and lies that the enemy would bring. So Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I prophesy, Lord, over this group of people, Lord. Those people that are here, and those people that are not here. Lord, those people that have been with us in the past, and those people that are to be with us in the future. Lord, we speak fruitfulness over this group of people. Lord, we stand against every lie of Satan that would say that you will not be fruitful. We come against every lie that would bring discouragement, whether it's in our minds, Lord, or whether it is before us in a physical way, Lord. Just like this morning, there's not many of us here. Lord, that can discourage us, Lord. But we stand against that in the name of Jesus. We stand against that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can call those things, Lord, that don't look like they're about to happen, as though they are going to happen. Lord, I thank you that your word says that there is such a thing as the gift of faith, Father. Lord, I pray that you would impart your gift of faith into our spirits. I thank you, Lord, we can't manufacture it. I thank you, Lord, we can't work it up. Lord, we can't work it up from just reading your word. We can't work it up from just worshipping you. It's something that you impart to us. And I pray for that impartation of the gift of faith over each and every person in this place. People that are not in this place, Lord, impart your gift of faith in the name of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you just to open up your hearts and your spirits and your mind and just call out to God and just ask him for that gift. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I mean, if you so feel inclined to just pray out, I just encourage you to do that. Thank you, Father.
I've got to get a few pictures I've had over the last few weeks. Let's see, it's been maybe we're a tenth now, and it's four now. One was, there was a group of us together in the church. There was a group of us, and we were on a journey somewhere. Let's take a diversion, and we ended up walking through some water, and then out of the water, this great monster, like a dinosaur or something, rose up out of the water. And like, to begin with, you're scared, and then suddenly you realise you're in a theme park. And actually, it's just a fairground attraction. So it wasn't real. And I just thought, God say, if your monsters will rise up, but they're not real. And they're just a fairground attraction. And the other one, I was sitting watching Bethany and Timmy Merton. And it's at Ling's, and they've got a sort of can look over the pool, and there's a glass partition. And I was looking at what was a wall, the reflection was from behind me, with a window on the wall, and God was saying, it's not a wall, it's a window. And just that, you might think it's a wall, but actually there's a window there, and so I think those two things seem to really fit on what Dan's said. So, you know, God is, you know, to believe what God's saying there, it's a fair thing. If it doesn't seem like it, it's fair ground attraction, or it's actually a window, not a wall. God's encouraging us to hold
Anything else at all? Anybody feel less praying in a particular way or anything like that? Okay, you can sit back down then. Yeah, so I just think that God wants to really encourage us this morning. Really wants to encourage us that we shouldn't be looking necessarily at what is happening physically. Because if we were to do that all the time, I think we'd just give up, wouldn't we? Because we're surrounded, it almost feels like, doesn't it, with discouragement and things that come against the things of God. Everything in society seems to be against the things of God at the minute. The church, you think, oh God, I just want it to grow. I just want us to break through, Lord. I just want us to touch those people out there that need you. And there can be a growing sense of frustration about things like that. But I just believe that God wants to encourage us. That there are seasons, that's a word that we need to remember today. There are seasons that we go through in this life. There are seasons that churches go through, the body of Christ go through. We go through seasons, don't we, in our own lives. No part of our life is the same as other parts of it. We go through a season of change, don't we, from one thing to another. I'm just going to say it again. I believe that there's a season of fruitfulness for this church. So, what does it say in the Bible about seasons? Well, Ecclesiastes, Dave's favourite book. Now you're back, Dave, I couldn't pick on you a bit. Didn't have anyone to pick on. Didn't even have Mark to pick on a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I had to pick on Simon, he got a bit gobby. And I particularly messed up at one point, didn't I, Simon? In Ecclesiastes it says in chapter 3 verse 1, it says that there is a, to everything there is a what? Season. And there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Now we all know what a season is. It's just a period of time, isn't it? It's just that's all it is. It's nothing complex here. I wish I could long it out a bit, but there's nothing more to it than that. It's just a period of time, isn't it, where there are certain factors, shall we say, certain things in place that allow something to come about. And if those things weren't there, that particular thing, that particular activity, wouldn't be able to happen. So I'll come up with some brilliant illustrations for this.
Oh man.
Ooh. Took me ages to work this out.
How are we going
to
get a scientific
route? Well, no, I'm not going down the science route.
I'm not going down the nitrogen debate.
No, I'm not going down that route.
Does that go badly wrong?
It went really wrong. Yeah, it took me ages to pick this one up. If you want to go skiing...
Yeah.
Right, if you want to go skiing, there's certain factors. There's certain things you need, Jack. You need in place, isn't it?
Yes.
What would you need to go skiing?
You need a large mountain.
You need a mountain, right? Okay, what do you need on the mountain?
Snow.
You need snow, don't you?
Ooh. I think you're safe with that.
I know you tried to ski without snow, and that's why you got a broken collarbone. But, you know, learn a lesson, but that's why I'm bringing this up, Jack.
It's okay, though.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to believe.
Right, so if you want to go skiing, you need snow. Right, so when do you go skiing then? This is rocket science stuff, this is. What time of year do you go skiing?
When it's snow.
February.
We haven't had time to think about that.
Winter. There you go.
Winter.
And why? It's cold. Oh. And that's why we get snow.
We'll see where you're going now.
That's why my annual July ski trip.
I am thinking of giving this up and becoming a professor of theology. Do you think I should bother? So, simply, it's just really simple, isn't it? that can't make it any more simple. Right, if you want to go skiing, you can only go in winter, really, because it snows then. And if you want to go down smoothly, you need snow because it's slippery. Okay? So it's all about seasons, isn't it? It's all about seasons. And it's the same in life. I believe that God has seasons for us. God has seasons in his kingdom. And sometimes those seasons are not to our liking. We sometimes we want something to happen. We want something to shift. We want something to change. We want something to break through. We want something to be freed up. Don't we? We've all had that. We all yearn for that, really, don't we? We want something to grow. Like, we want to see more bums on seats. We yearn for that, really, don't we? But it doesn't always work out that way. And I believe it's because God has certain seasons that we have to go through. Simple as that, really. So fruitfulness. Talking about going back to fruitfulness. If we go into sort of the picture of the tree, what time of year is a tree fruitful? So we're moving on from skiing now to trees, and it's an apple tree. I'm giving you a bit more air. It's an apple tree.
We go late summer.
Late summer.
You need spring and the blossom.
Right, okay.
A bit of both.
Yeah. Right, so a tree produces its fruit in summer. That's about right, isn't it? My neighbour's got one. Mm. I looked out the window today. It's got small apples on it at the minute.
Yeah.
So it's not quite there. Give it another 2 months. We should be there. And then they'll start dropping on the floor. So summer is the time for fruitfulness, isn't it? It has a, what is it, everybody? A what?
Season.
And this is what it says in Psalm 1, doesn't it? The man that delights in the Lord and meditates in day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Has a designated time to bear fruit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't bear fruit in winter, does it, when people are skiing? It bears fruit in the summer. Why? Because it's warm. Why? Because there's more light. And
in
Northampton we've got the water. In other countries like Israel, okay, you probably have to irrigate it. Yeah, so the conditions are there for fruitfulness. Now, just to take this picture of the tree a little bit further, if you were to plant an apple tree, I'm going to pick on Jean here because you're the gardener, Jean. How long would it take for it to, if you were to plant it from scratch, from a treeling? If you were to plant it from a sapling, if you were to plant it from a sapling, how long would it go from sapling to
eating fruit? 3-4 years.
3-4 years.
Because you're supposed to discard the first fruits.
Right, okay. So there is a process from being a sapling to being a fruit-bearing, apple-eating tree. Right, because obviously if you plant a sapling, it's not going to bear an apple there and then, is it? Okay, and even if it could, it would probably just break, wouldn't it? So even with a tree, there is a period of time where there is no fruit. That's quite a long time, actually, isn't it? So I've looked this up, actually, 3 to 5 years,
yeah,
apparently. And even then, the first crop, which I think they call dwarf, apples or something like that, you pick those ones off and they discard them so that they can, you know, be more fruitful and larger on the next occasion. So there's a period of being planted, there's a period of growth, there's a period of development, there's a period of strengthening before that tree can bear fruit. before you see any fruit at the end of it. And I, as I was thinking about this, as I was praying, as I was meditating on all of this, I just got that sense about us as a church, that actually there has been a season where it hasn't been the season for fruit. It's been the season of being planted, of growth, of development, and being strengthened. And that could take, you know, when you're talking about a church, you can't say, well, that's going to take 3 to 5 years, because it's just like a tree. And after 3 to 5 years, you know, it should be okay. It doesn't work like that. I just sense that's what, that's the season that we've been in, and probably still are in. But I just want to encourage us this morning that there is a season at hand whereby God is going to make us fruitful. That's what I believe. Now, just, there's a verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2. So this is Paul. And it's a quite, I haven't got much more after this, by the way. It's quite a short, you know, short message. This is Paul encouraging Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. He says this. He says, preach the word. He says, be ready. You know, and I was praying last night. I just got that. Those two words in my spirit as well. Be ready. In season and out of season. Let's read it again. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. So, when a tree's not bearing fruit, it's out of season, isn't it? There's a process. We've got summer where it bears fruit. It drops its fruit. We've got autumn where the leaves come off. We've got winter where it's bare. We've got spring where it starts to bud and flower. And then we've got summer again. So all the other times of the year, it's sort of out of season really, isn't it? Because there's no fruit on it. I just feel like God is saying that to us. Okay, you feel like it's out of season. We, you know, we get that sense within us. You know, God, what's going on? Well, I believe that God is saying, look, you're out of season. You're not in that place where you want to be because you're out of season. The conditions, the climate, you haven't got the sun, you haven't got enough rain, you haven't got enough light, you haven't got enough of what you need at this time because it's not the right season. You don't get a lot of light in winter, do you? You get a lot of rain. You don't get a lot of warmth, though. I just feel like God is saying that. You're out of season. But there is a time when you'll be in season to produce fruit. And it's this little phrase here. It says, be ready. So he's saying to Timothy, just carry on what you're doing. Just continue to preach the word of God. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. Preach in conditions that are not favourable, where it's hostile, where people won't listen to you, where people stand against you, where people are completely indifferent. Speak the word of God. But also speak the word of God when conditions change and people are receptive and they want to hear it and they respond. And it's effective. And you see people change. You see miracles. Preach it then as well. Do it on all occasions, in season and out of season. And I believe that's what God would say to us today. That if it feels like you're out of season, that's probably the case. But nevertheless, we are still here. Nevertheless, you are still here. Okay, the church is still here out of season. If you want to get a cheap holiday, yeah, go out of season. There won't be a lot going on. You get on the fairground rides pretty quickly, but it might be quite cold and it might be a bit wet. Who's been to a fairground in a holiday camp out of season? I am. It's not much fun, is it? It's not much fun. I think we've all been there at some point. You think, what on earth am I doing here? Have you done that? It's not fun, is it? You're the only people enjoying it are the kids, yeah. And I don't, maybe they're putting it on as well. God is saying to us, even if it's out of season, be ready. Because there comes a time, at some point, where you'll be in season. So, what does that mean? Be ready. Well, it means, I think, that we have to constantly prepare our hearts. That we have to constantly be open to God. That we have to keep seeking His will. That we have to keep asking the Lord for wisdom. We have to keep seeking His counsel. That's what it talks about here in Psalm 1, doesn't it? It says, he that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. It's talking about a person that is open to God, that is doing the things that he or she feels they should do, and continues to seek after the things of God. What do we do? Well, we do that. Lord, we feel a bit out of season here. We don't feel very fruitful. The conditions don't feel right for us to grow. Doesn't feel like we're going to break through. What do we do? Lord, we seek God. Seek His will. Pray. Ask Him. What should we, is there things that we should do? Probably yes. Then do that. But in the midst of it, be open to God and for His leading. Be prepared. Don't allow the circumstances of what they look like to change that. To think, well, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to seek God anymore. I've sought Him many, many times over that issue and it hasn't changed. God says, no, keep doing it. There will come a time when you will be in season. Where circumstances are different, where the climate is different, and there will be fruitfulness. It says in Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 4, let's think about preparation. It says, the lazy man will not plough because of winter. So we're talking about season here again, aren't we? The lazy man will not plough because of winter. So ploughing is a form of preparation, isn't it? It's preparing a field. It's clearing it. It's you creating furrows to plant crops. It says the lazy man won't do that because it's winter, because the conditions are such that it's a bit miserable outside, it's a bit cold, it's dark, you don't want to do it. They're all the things in life that make you not want to go to work, aren't they? especially in my job, I have to get up some days really, really early in the middle of winter, and you think, oh, man, I don't want to get out of bed. It's cold just to get out of bed, it's dark. Winter has that effect on us, doesn't it? And that's what the Bible is saying. Because of winter, because of the conditions, because of the season, didn't want to plough the field, didn't want to be preparing it. And I just feel that that's what God would say to us today. Don't allow the season that you are in, or that you feel that we are in, put you off from being open and having your heart prepared to God. It's sometimes difficult, but you've got to get that plough in the field and turn over that ground and prepare it. And I think we've probably been doing that. And just because at this time there isn't an abundance of fruit, there isn't a harvest there, doesn't mean to say that God isn't working. And it goes on to say here, it says, he will beg during the harvest and have nothing. Because he couldn't be bothered in the winter to do the difficult thing. And just be encouraged this morning. Don't allow circumstances to discourage you. And to say to you, oh, it's winter. Don't bother, it's too much hassle. It's too difficult, it's too cold, the ground's too hard. I just feel like God really wants to encourage us this morning. and that he wants you to maintain. He wants you to maintain those things that you started to do. Because we can start something enthusiastically and then finish, just like scraping over the line. You know, like a marathon, you see these poor souls that start off enthusiastically, and then by the end of it, they're on a stretcher almost. You can feel like that in life sometimes. You start off like that, full of energy, and then you hit the wall halfway through. You go through the wall. I've never run a marathon. That's what people say. You go through the wall, and by the time you get to it, you're almost dead. Okay, it feels like that sometimes, but be encouraged. Keep going. Keep ploughing. Keep ploughing, even though it's winter, even though it's dark. I believe that God wants us to do that. He wants you to keep seeking him. He wants you to keep praying. He wants you to keep doing the things that he's called you to do. Maintain that. Keep doing it. There is a time that that labour has a fruit to it. Might not be now. It comes later on. That's all I really want to say and all I really need to say. So I think we should respond to that. We had a little response earlier when we had a prayer and a bit of a prophecy and all that kind of stuff. But again, I think we just need to respond to that in our hearts and just say to God, Lord, this is the season I'm in. I need to keep on doing what I've been doing. Feel like stopping it, I'm going to carry on. I think we need to respond to that today. So, let's do that. Stand up again. Up and down. I'm going to pray, and you can either pray out loud or pray quietly, whatever you want to do. But I just think we need to respond to that. So, just open your hearts up again to God. And Lord, we just come again to you this morning. Lord, so many times, Lord, we do things like this where we feel discouraged and we make a choice. And we feel discouraged and we make a choice. We feel discouraged. We make a choice to follow you. Well, Lord, we come again this morning. I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, Lord, but at times I feel discouraged. But Lord, I make a choice again this morning, Lord, to be that person that gets out of my bed, puts my hand to the plough, and makes a furrow in the soil, Lord. Lord, despite the darkness, despite the coldness, despite the hardness of the soil, Father, I choose that right now in Jesus' name. Choose that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. There is a season to come where the weather is warm, where it's lighter. Lord, where there is fruit, Lord, we may not see it now, but Father, I pray that you encourage us this morning in the name of Jesus by your Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you move upon us, I pray, and encourage each and every one of us. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Have you been discouraged? Repent of it, because it's sin. We all get discouraged. So Lord, all those times, even recently, where I've been discouraged, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, because that's not faith in you.